Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. Lord, today we humble our hearts, we quiet our hearts, and we say, we believe your word. We believe that we can do what your word says we can do. And we believe that we have what your word says we have. Say this with me. I can do what the word says I can do. And I have what the word says that I have. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. So I'm in this series called Because of Grace. And we've covered a lot of ground. And today I want to come back to number 12, which is because of grace, or Jesus, because I'll keep repeating this, and maybe I should have you do it too. Say, grace is not a theology or a doctrine. It's a person. And it's you, Jesus. Okay? So grace is Jesus. The Bible said he came, he's full of grace and full of truth. And so anytime we see the word grace in the Bible, we ought to think of the Lord. Thank the Lord for his grace. It's unmerited favor. It's what we don't deserve. Amen. And so because of grace, we have all these things. We're loved. Because of grace, we're called. We believe. We can't even believe without grace. You know, it's the grace of God through the moving of the Holy Spirit that imparts faith into our heart to even believe. That's how we get saved. Right? And so when I meet somebody that's a hardcore unbeliever, I just start praying for God's grace to move in their heart. Because the grace of God will break open the hardest of hearts. So because of grace, we believe. Because of grace, we're saved. We're saved by grace and not by works, lest any man should boast. Correct? So we can't save ourselves. It's only by God's grace, which is Jesus and the shed blood that he gave for us and his finished work at the cross and him taking care of all of that sin stuff for us, that we are saved from hell. And that word saved is not just saved from hell. It's the word sozo, which means we're made whole. We're made whole in this life by his grace. And so we're justified. Just reviewing, we're justified. What does that word mean? It means your sins have been removing just as if they never happened. As far as the east is from the west, they've been totally removed. Heaven doesn't remember them anymore. We do, and the enemy accuses us of it, but the Lord doesn't. We're in good standing with God. Because of grace, we're accepted by God. We're accepted. You gotta just settle down on that. Like, I don't have to do anything more to be accepted. Jesus did it all. My acceptance doesn't depend on me. Because many times I don't perform up to par. How many of you do? So if we're trying to perform up to par to be accepted by God, we get into perfectionism and striving and all of that. And it makes our relationship with the Lord very stressed and strained. And we don't live a free life. Amen? So we're accepted. You got to settle that. Because of grace, your sins are forgiven. Not they will be. They are. We confess our sins. And he's faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. And we shouldn't take sin lightly. But the sin problem has been dealt with. And we need to appropriate that truth into our life. And the more we do, the less we want to sin. Amen? So we overcome sin, and it has no dominion over us, because we know we live in the grace of God. There's no condemnation. He's not going to beat us up. And even when we fall, he picks us up. The Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times, and God picks him up every single time. That's complete victory. The number 7 stands for completion. So because of grace, we overcome every weakness. Amen. I've seen that in my life. I had to appropriate that. Lord, I'm weak in this area. And I could go down my list of weaknesses, and you know what yours are. But I don't make excuses for those weaknesses. I don't keep going, well, my bad, my bad, my bad. I say, Lord, this is a weakness in my life, and I need your grace to help me start to grow in this area so that this weakness doesn't destroy my life. Everybody with me? But the Word of God, and all the scriptures are there if you want to get the outline, but I've gone through every single one of these and done due diligence to give you the scriptures so that you could go back and have your mind transformed. Paul had weaknesses. Man, Paul was so honest. I love that he said, the things that I want to do, I find myself not doing. And the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Hello? And this is the Apostle Paul who became the advocate for the new covenant message of grace, raised under the old covenant of no grace, in the upper echelon of the Jewish, culture, and could teach the law forwards and backwards. And he said he followed it more than any person. And yet he had this struggle that we all have. And there was a point where he said to the Lord, take this weakness from me. And the Lord said, what did he tell him? My grace is sufficient for you. And my strength, God speaking to him, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So in other words, I know you have it. And the more you depend on me, even though it's there, the more strength you're going to find. But it's only through that revelation of grace that you're going to get the strength to overcome this. Amen? So we overcome the weakness. Because of grace, we're sanctified. What does that mean? Set apart and made clean once and for all. And I believe in making those kind of vows to the Lord. Lord, I set my life apart to be a vessel that you can use, right? Making a conscious choice that you're not going to, just live in filth, the things that grieve God's heart. I think that's important. But what you got to understand that is that the moment that you receive Jesus Christ, he already set you apart. You need to see yourself as that. And when you see that you've been set apart for this holy, glorious use of the Lord, and that you're at the table, what happens is you start to live into that position of royalty. You start to live into that position rather than, I got to get it together. I got to do this. There is responsibility on our part. But when we realize that Jesus already did it for us, our responsibility is just to go get in our position and be thankful and start to live into our identity. Amen? So it's once and for all. It's not like it has to happen over and over again. By grace, we're empowered to live for God. By grace, we're taught and empowered to live a holy life. And here's where I ended last time I preached. Because of grace, I receive miracles, and miracles, signs, and wonders follow me because I believe. And I went into the text here and showed you that the message of grace received the endorsement from heaven. The Lord himself endorsed the message of grace. And because of the message being right, now miracles, signs, and wonders started to show up. And, I grew up in the message of legalism. What is that? You follow all these rules. It's all externals. You wear these clothes. You do this or you don't do that. And, there was a lot of this, lukewarm, nominal Christians, and you were lukewarm if you wore lipstick, if you had shoulder sin like I do today, or leg sin like my brother Ken and Tanya have over there. There's butt sin in here. There's all kind of sin, honey, let me tell you. But we were considered lukewarm Christians that, had a form of godliness but denied the power thereof. But did you know that I've seen more miracles in grace-based churches than I ever did in that harsh, legalistic, yoke-ridden religious spirit system. Amen? You can give God praise for that. I have. And so Paul begins to preach here with Barnabas in the city of Iconium. And now they're about to stone him. They're about to kill him. Remember the story. Why? Because people who are engaged in political and religious control don't want free subjects. Amen? So Paul is there preaching this freedom in God, this grace message, And it says, therefore, Paul and Barnabas stayed there in Iconium a long time, boldly speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Now, I said, I want to see more of this in my life. I want to see more of it in your life. We have had a flood of cancer diagnosis, you know, this kind of diagnosis, this going on. And we are standing like fierce lions right now against the tide of stuff that's coming at us. And we're not going to cower and we're not going to back down. We're going to bathe ourselves and immerse ourselves in the love and the grace of God, and we're going to believe God for miracles. But we're not chasing signs and wonders. We're not doing that, but we do believe in it. Now, I want to bring something that I had heard recently from Bill Winston, and it was so powerful because, and this has to do with the grace message and us operating in signs, wonders, and miracles. So I'm going to just condense it and stay in this area right now today. But he said, miracles won't work out of a condemned heart. Under grace, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So the more you believe that you're condemned and you don't know the truth, the harder it is for you to actually appropriate and release the power of God, because you don't feel that you're worthy. How many of you grew up in that? If you have to have fasted and leadership had to approve you, and you know the presbytery had to have laid hands on you and made sure that you didn't have any STDs, any spiritually transmitted devils, before that you could. Why are y'all laughing? Before you could like pray for somebody and see the power of God flowing through, you had to get to some like level or some certification or whatever. And I want to debunk all of that today, but I want to start here that the day you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, your sins were washed away. The door to the devil was slammed shut. You were endorsed by heaven. You became a power broker for God on the earth, and you're not condemned. Amen. So Jesus, he came to take away the ministry of condemnation. When we talk about grace, so Jesus, the message that he gave to Paul to preach to the New Testament believers, and Paul wrote most of the New Testament, it was to get those that had lived with what's called the condemnation ministry, which what the law was, it was a ministry of condemnation. To make man aware of the fact that because of sin, you have a death sentence on your life. You're condemned to death. And the only way you can get it off of you is through blood, a blood sacrifice, correct? And so Jesus came to take away the ministry of condemnation through his finished work on the cross, and then entrust the ministry of grace to the New Testament disciples, a ministry of grace, of righteousness, of freedom, of power, of no condemnation. Again, miracles don't work through a condemned heart. So you have to have the truth of God's grace and believe that you are totally free. You're free. And even when your flesh gets the best of you, and I call them flesh flashes, they're all like hot flashes, ladies. But when you have them flesh flashes, you have to get right back into grace, right? Don't give yourself an excuse or a license to sin, because Paul said grace is not a license to sin, but it's the freedom to do what God commands. So receive it and just bathe yourself in grace and say, you know what? God, thank you that my sins are forgiven, and I ask you to just forgive me for that, you know, flaw or whatever I did today, but I'm going to get right back into your grace because I need it. There's miracles all around us that need to manifest. So Jesus said this, and watch this, and this scripture is not in the notes today, but he said, I tell you this timeless truth. The person who follows me in faith, not in performance, not in all of this, what? Faith in what? Faith in the grace of God. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, so believing in what I did, will do the same mighty miracles that I do. Even greater. Jesus is talking about miracles. And he did not say, you'll do even greater miracles than these, because he was there performing miracles in John 14, 12. And he's saying, don't worry about it. I'm going to send to you another comforter. You're going to know him because you've been with me. In other words, it's going to be my spirit. The world won't know that it's me, but you'll know that it's me. And I'm good, because I go away to the Father, I'm going to come back and indwell you. So it won't just be one of us doing power miracles on the earth, but I'm going to distribute it to everybody. And he didn't say, I'm going to do this as long as you're alive and you bear the office of apostle. So the cessationists, they say all miracles ended with the original disciples and apostles. Not true. Because I've seen too many miracles in my lifetime to say that's not truth. So here's the deal. The devil wants to rob you of the correct image of God through condemnation. God loves you. He's for you. He wants to operate through your life. But condemnation is the mud of the spirit. Condemnation is to the spirit what cancer is to the body. And so we have to renounce condemning thoughts. We have to replace them with the truth. Amen. That I operate by the Spirit of God, because where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. There's freedom. There's power. There's power. Amen. So Jesus is, he's beginning to teach them that those who believe in me, grace, you're going to start to do these miracles. And he says in Mark 16, 17 through 18, and these miracle signs will accompany those who perform, those who strive, those who jump through hoops, those who follow the law. No, it doesn't say that, does it? It says, these miracle signs will accompany those who believe. They will drive out demons. Now, I'm going to break this down briefly today because I want to drive this home. They will drive out demons in the power of my name. So not one of you should ever have to deal with demonic oppression, ever. It's not your job to call Ghostbusters or Mama Didi in the middle of the night. People used to ask us to come cleanse their houses and all this stuff, and we're like, we're exhausted. Clean your own house. Get some anointing oil and get up and tell the devil where to go, right? That's not what we're doing over here. If somebody don't know how, we'll show you. But you have the power as a believer to handle your own business and your own atmosphere in your house, with your children, at your job, in your car, in your head, wherever you are, because you're a believer, not an ordained pastor, right? So the ministry of deliverance from demonic oppression is for all of us. It's for me, it's for you, all of us. I was taught to you know, cast out devils as soon as I could, like, think and say no. My dad was like, you need to get rid of that demon. Anyways, my parents taught me that as a child. And so what is the next thing? They will speak in tongues. They will be supernaturally protected from snakes and from drinking anything poisonous. And, you know, a lot of people perverted this, and they started having, like, snake ministry, and you got all those hillbillies out in the middle of nowhere, like, that play with snakes in church and just to prove they've got the power of God. And that is not what he meant. Okay? If you land up in one of those, like, backward churches, you need to run. We're not going to be playing with no snakes up here on the platform, let me tell you. Jesus always spoke in mysteries, and he's not talking in a literal sense, and I'll show you that in just a second. But and then it says, and they shall lay hands on the sick and heal them. So this casting out devils and then speaking in tongues, it's just there. Jesus is the one saying this. So don't mock the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues. Just don't do it. If you don't understand it, just go, okay, I don't understand it, but don't mock what Jesus said would be one of the miracle signs. Amen? So in the footnotes there with the supernaturally protected from snakes and from drinking anything poisonous, it says this: they will pick up snakes and be unharmed, and whatever poison they drink will not hurt them. Some scholars believe that this sentence can, contains two Aramaic idioms. Number one, to pick up snakes could be a picture of overcoming one's enemies. Snakes. Well, I'd like to pick up a few of them and have Ken Shamrock bounce them on their head. Bam. Amen? Anyways, I better calm down. Number two, drinking poison may mean dealing with attacks on one's character or poisonous words. Because we take those in, right? And this imagery that is being used here by Jesus, it actually comes from Psalm 91, you know. And it's 91:13, it says this. David said, "You'll even walk unharmed among the fiercest powers of darkness," which means lions, snakes, and dragons. In the Hebrew, those were the three words used. Lion, what is Satan? He's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And then snakes, who is he? He's the serpent. And then the dragon, which is Leviathan, right? And so all three references there in the imagery in Psalm 91 refer to Satan and his demonic powers. And so what Jesus is saying there is that you will trample all of them under your feet. All of them. That's powerful. So Jesus is teaching the disciples that because you believe in me, you're going to do these same miracles. And he's out there performing miracles. He's doing all this in Matthew 16. And religious, political religious people who liked control over the people, let's just say it like that, leaders, religious and political leaders, called Pharisees and Sadducees, come out to Jesus, and they start demanding a sign as if the miracle's not enough because they didn't believe in supernatural power. They had none. All they had was control, and they had the Torah, they had the Word of God, and I grew up in this. We'll use the Word of God to beat you down and keep you controlled. Amen? And so these types of people come to Jesus, and they demand a sign from heaven, and here's how Jesus felt about it. Watch this. One day, some of the Pharisees and those of the Jewish sect, known as the Sadducees, approached Jesus, insisting that he prove to them that he was the Messiah. "Show us a supernatural sign from heaven," they demanded. All right, so that Sadducees and Pharisees, they were three. There were three major sects of Judaism in that day. Those two and then one called Essenes. And they were an influential group that gravitated toward political control, like I said, but they did not believe in the supernatural. So Jesus says to them, "You can read the signs of the weather, for you say, 'Red sky at night, sailors delight,' and 'Red sky in the morning, sailors take warning.' You're so adept at forecasting the weather by looking at the sky, but you're absolutely clueless in reading the obvious signs of the times. A wicked and wayward generation always asks for signs, but the only sign I will provide for you will be the sign of Jonah the prophet." And this went right over their head. I'll come back to that and explain it. "Then he turned away and left them." The sign of Jonah, it points to Jesus in many ways, because Jonah was thrown into the sea. That points to Christ's death, being buried, right? Being swallowed by the fish for 3 days points to Christ's burial. And being expelled from the fish speaks of Christ's resurrection and triumph over death, which is the greatest sign God will ever give. The resurrected Jesus is the eternal sign that our sins have been forgiven by his grace. And they would not believe because they wanted something else. Yikes. And so Jesus deals with their hypocrisy, and he gives us a warning. I'm going to end on this today, and I hope it's settling down on you. Later, as Jesus and his disciples crossed over to the other side of the lake, Galilee, the disciples realized they had forgotten to bring any loaves of bread. Jesus spoke up and said something very important. He said, "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Watch out for it. What is it? You have to do what we tell you to do to be right with God. You have to follow all these stringent rules and regulations. You have to put the organization before your family, before your own welfare, before anything else, right? And Jesus is talking about this yeast. What was it? It was a graceless message. He said, watch out for it. Thinking Jesus was scolding them over not bringing bread, they began to discuss it among themselves, still not getting it. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, you have such little faith. Why are you arguing with one another about having no bread? Are you so slow to understand? Have you forgotten? Watch this. And he goes right back to the miracles. Have you forgotten the miracle of feeding the 5,000 families and how each of you ended up with a basket full of fragments? And how 7 loaves of bread fed 4,000 families with baskets left over? Don't you understand? I'm not talking about bread, but I'm warning you to avoid the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then finally they realized he wasn't talking about yeast found in bread. Watch this. But the error of the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. These Pharisees called themselves separated ones. They were separatists, not inclusive. And I'm not talking about being inclusive in terms of accepting sin and grieving God's heart. I'm talking about if you don't belong to our little organization and you don't wear your skirt the right way and you don't cut your hair the right way and you don't wear your clothes the right way and you don't do all these things under the facade of religion, then you're not right. And we have this today in denominationalism. We have this going on today. I grew up in a church where it's pretty much preached from the pulpit. If you don't attend this church, because we're the ones that have it right, you're in jeopardy of burning in hell. Yes? And I want you to know something. Jesus came to destroy all of these little exclusive clubs and all this stuff around the world. He opened the door for any man to come to him and receive power and to receive grace in their time of need. Jesus came for the common people. These people were religious frauds who loved money and wanted to be the final authority on all doctrines that were taught to the people. In fact, if they didn't approve of what you were going to say, then, you know, they wouldn't have anything to do with you. And sometimes they were so zealous that they would have you killed. These other groups, where they were just religious aristocrats with political power to Rome, connections to Rome. And they didn't believe in the afterlife. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in demons. They denied the miraculous. I know I'm repeating myself, but today this is still going on. And I want you to know something. We don't have to be running around the church leaving, you know, tread marks on the walls and working ourselves up into a froth and saying, wow, that was a good Holy Ghost service, and then going home and struggling with all the stuff that I saw growing up. Pedophilia, perversion, broken lives, incest, all kinds of garbage going on. That yoke incited all of those behaviors in the people. And I didn't see as many miracles as I do today. And I want you to live free. I want you to live free from all bondage. I want you to have what God died to give you. Happy, as Pastor or Dr. Beth says, happy holiness. To be happy in a life of holiness, but not depending on yourself to achieve some level of holiness that you will never achieve without Jesus. Amen? To live free from the burdens of all of that. I want to see you believe in the grace of God with such ferocity and such, I don't even know how else to say it, but just such ferocity, such fervor, such love, such assurance, such comfort in the Holy Spirit, that wherever you go, God shows up. Signs, wonders, and miracles follow your life. But I don't want you out there power tripping, trying to prove something that you can't prove as long as you have a condemned heart. The greatest sign, Jesus said, was the sign of the prophet of Jonah, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when a person receives him and everything changes, that is the greatest sign that the world could ever see. Amen? I'm done. I want to get you out of here early today. Go ahead and give it up for the Lord. You are a power broker on the earth. I told you it was going to be short and sweet. Say this, because of grace, signs, wonders, and miracles follow me. But I am a sign, a wonder, and a miracle to this world because I believe in you, Jesus. You are Lord. You know, I'm not even going to do like the traditional altar call. No man can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. No man. The devil won't allow him. His tongue will be bound. I want you to believe that he's Lord, Lord of your life. And as long as you believe that, you should expect that when you pray, even the simplest of prayers, Lord, save my friend. I release healing to this person. I don't know all there is to know about it, but I release it. I want you to believe that God loves you enough to operate through you. Amen and amen. You guys have a blessed, blessed 4th of July. And if you need prayer, our team will be here.
Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us today. Thanks to those who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that makes this ministry possible. You can click the link below in the description box to give now or visit soulharvestwc.org/podcast for more information. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You could also share with your friends. Click the share button, take a screenshot, and also share in your social media stories and tag us at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.